Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Hello, Neverlanders! Take your pixie out of your pocket. I am who? This is Eric, Lost Boy Ratlaw, coming to you from Neverland. How is everyone doing today?
I'm waiting for them to answer.
Good!
Because you know everybody talks to their podcast.
Excellent. Yes, they do. Yes. You know, I find myself doing it all the time in my car, so.
Sure.
Hey, Jeremy, how's it going?
Hi. Yes, because it is I. It is your Spider-Pan, Jeremy. And, of course, as you've taken that pixie out of your pocket, but we didn't tell you what to do with it yet. But you should know the routine. You sprinkle some of that pixie dust and grab your happiest thoughts, and we fly away to Neverland again. Yay!
All right.
Yes, and hopefully you can't tell that we're both tired. But I can hear it in our voices.
Speak for yourself. I had a busy day yesterday, and I had a nice little nap a little while ago. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's been kind of a long, busy weekend. Of course, most of my weekend, I've been trying to catch up on some video games and some doing some reading. Speaking of some reading. Okay, so Jeff Barnes, longtime listeners might remember him. He wrote this book called The Wisdom of Walt. Mm-hmm. And he had sent me a digital copy, and I kind of perused it a little bit before I talked to him. But he's got a second book coming beyond The Wisdom of Walt, and he's making some arrangements with me. He would like me to review the book and then have him back on the show to talk about this new book. So I thought, well, I better hurry up and read this one. But I'm not really a fan of reading digital copies, so I went on to Amazon to find myself a copy of The Wisdom of Walt. And I found one that said that it may have a personalized message on the inside cover. I said, well, that's okay. So I ordered that. And I ordered a couple other books I'll talk about here in a second. But the funny thing is I got the book, and it's in really good condition. And I opened up, and yes, it is signed by Dr. Jeff Barnes himself. And it's signed to somebody named Josh.
Well, it starts with a J.
It starts with a J, so that's really funny. So I did start in reading it. I'm a few chapters in, and it is very, very good stuff. If you have not checked out that book, you definitely need to check it out. Dr. Jeff Barnes is a really fun guest, and I'm excited to have him back on. His next book is coming out, I believe, here in October. So very soon you'll hear him back on the show, and I'll try to read this book and the second one really fast. But after I'm done reading that, the other two things that I ordered... This turned out to be cooler than I thought. Because I have an Amazon credit card through Chase Bank that I got specifically, I wanted to use it to purchase my books for school. If I don't purchase them through the school, if I find them cheaper on Amazon, I figured I'd use this credit card. Mm-hmm. Well, as luck would have it, I end up maxing out this card mainly because I was using it for gas there for a while because we didn't, you know, things were kind of rough. So we'll just say that. But I was using, you know, credit to keep my car fueled up. And so I built up a lot of points. Now, the neat thing, this builds up money inside Amazon on my my Amazon account, so I'm able to use that money then for purchases. So I had some buildup in there, so I went ahead and got these other books, and I found, many people will have heard of the Neil Gabler, Walt Disney, I think it's called Triumph of the American Imagination, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Big, thick book. My goodness, this is like 600 pages. So I'm going to try to read this by next summer because I have this idea for a project I might do next summer, but I'll talk about it more if I get a chance to do it. But not only that, but I saw this other book that had – and it looked like the dust jacket had the image I've seen for the cover for this documentary. It's like The Man Behind the Legend or something like that. That is something Diane Disney Miller oversaw because she wanted to have, you know, a good documentary about her father. That, you know, that way her father didn't become just like Colonel Sanders or something. Mm-hmm. She wanted to know who Walt Disney was, you know, everybody to know. And it had that same cover. So I thought, ooh, let me get that one. And so I ordered that one as well. And now this one, this I had heard of before. It's, Bob, I want to say Horton. Uh-oh, I forgot the name already on it. Oh, wait, I got it right next to me.
Bob Thomas, is it?
Bob Thomas, yes.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Okay, so there's a 1994 release of this book, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what I got. It arrived here, no dust jacket, hardback, original copy from, 1976? Yes, 1976. Oh, wow. Original copy in very good condition. It's somebody named Terry J. Davis had this, has his phone number on here in case he lost his book. I should call him, see if he's still got the same number. Anyway, but it says, I read this book during Christmas vacation, 1976 and 1977, and he put his initials there to say when he read it. And, wow. It was given him as a gift, I guess, from somebody named Anne Marie on December 25th of 1976. It's kind of neat. It's got the writing on there from that. But so I am going to, after I finish The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, and I'm also going to be reading textbooks here in a couple of weeks when I don't go back to school, I'm going to read this Bob Thomas book and The Enabler. I get that name right? Neil Gabler. Gabler book. And I am going to know everything in the world about Walt that I don't already know.
Well, so, I'll tell you, between those two, I have a personal favorite, but I'm not going to color your judgment and allow you to read the two of them before we discuss before we discuss either of them.
Oh, and we can have a nice discussion of the books. I'm sure it'll be fun. So, but that's how I spent part of my weekend. The other part, and I have another funny story to tell. Okay, so I needed to take a weekend off. I really did because I'm getting close to school starting, and it was kind of a crazy week, and I went to where I'm driving for Uber to driving for Lyft, and I'm probably going to drive for both here this week. But it was kind of an exhausting week, and I'm getting ready to go back to school here in just a couple weeks. So I thought I was going to take a weekend off, and I've recently, on the PlayStation Network, found that for the PS4, they had a sale on Lego Harry Potter Years 1 through 4 and 5 through 7. As one package deal, I got them both for like $5 in this sale. So I was like, "Whoa!" So I went ahead and got them because I've played the 1 through 4. I had it on Xbox, but I didn't really unlock all the extras or anything. Well, I sat down over the weekend. I've been playing that, and I've been broadcasting. If anyone watches my personal YouTube channel, I did live stream some game time, which you can check it out if you look under Gluband, G-L-U-B-A-N-D. I've got a lot of game streaming that I've done directly onto YouTube from my PlayStation, if you're interested in that sort of thing. But so here's what was funny. I've completed all the years, all the regular story mode. And so I've been working on unlocking everything and unlocking all the characters, and I needed to get some dark wizards so I could do these little objects that require dark magic to open up and unlock more characters and, you know, Hogsworth crests and that kind of thing. Well, I after you've done all the story, you can go back to Hogwarts. You can go around the school. Mm-hmm. And inside there, you know, like a normal Lego game, when you do free play levels, you tap a button to the right or to the left and you switch characters, that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. how this is set up, if you're going to just run around the school, you have to go to these polyjuice potion cauldrons that you made throughout the course of playing, and you do that to switch characters. Well, I unlocked Professor Quirrell / Voldemort. Mm-hmm. And he comes with one of the spells that he could do the Avada Kedavra. And I thought, well, that's kind of neat. You can do that. And there was this other cheat that I unlocked by these little bread boxes. You send an owl back to the owlry, that kind of thing. But it was labeled character studs. And I didn't know what it did until I started using Avada Kedavra at the school. Basically, when I kill a character, he turns into studs. So I was like having fun. I was running around using Avada Kedavra, killing a bunch of people. But I would leave the room I was in Hogwarts, and I would come back to it on the way through, and I noticed nobody was respawning.
I was
like, you mean if I kill them, they're going to stay dead? And I kind of wondered about that, because with the PlayStation 4, you can put it into rest mode, and you can actually keep your game active, and it'll come right back to where you left off. So I was kind of worried about that. And when I started doing some research online, because I thought it was kind of interesting, I found out that it will permanently kill them, especially if you have saved or done something that would save your game. Like unlocking something will save your game. If you find a token or an artifact or whatever, it will save the game automatically. And I thought, oh golly, maybe I better just quit the game and I'll restart so everybody comes back. But I had forgotten that I did indeed, after cleaning out a couple of rooms, I did find an item, and it saved. So now I've permanently killed some of the students at Hogwarts.
That's horrible.
But it was so funny. It's terrible that I've done it, but it was funny while I did it. You know, because I was going around, like, because there's characters that they don't react to you any differently, even though I'm Voldemort walking around the school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still wave at me like I'm playing as Harry, and they're like, hello! I'm like, hello, zap, Avada Kedavra! You know? And even, you know, when you are finished, the school stays in the way things are set at the end of the Goblet of Fire. So I had Rita Skeeter running around, and, you know, we don't like her anyway. So Rita Skeeter came running up, spam, Avada Kedavra! You know? And she didn't come back. I'm like, I might have just done the Wizarding World a favor, really.
Now go find Dolores Umbridge.
Next game. But I have noted it doesn't let me necessarily kill professors. I did find one in the common room that was some unnamed professor that I managed to kill her. And unfortunately, she won't be coming back probably, because I probably saved after I went into the Great Hall and went on my murderous rampage. I also have gone on, thankfully, you can go to Diagon Alley and go on a murderous rampage. And then if you go into one of the shops and come back out, everybody's back again. So I can get all my murderous jollies going. So that's been my weekend. I'll probably just change the way some people think of me. They're like, oh my gosh, he's been running around killing Lego people. He's evil. But we should probably get into some news here. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so our first thing, I'm going to have to just grab this link and put it in the show notes as long as I don't forget. But Garner Holt has been working on some new animatronics. And they've said, though, this is not necessarily coming to the parks right away. That's what they're saying. But they have shown, they've got it up on, if you look for up for Garner Holt on their YouTube channel, they have put up a video of a brand new Abraham Lincoln animatronic. And you know they are refurbishing the Hall of Presidents right now, because every time you get a new president, they refurbish it, and they're going to put a talking Trump in there. And, you know, most of the show is Abraham Lincoln talking. And so this video has been posted, and it is amazingly lifelike. They have put movement in there for cheekbones, and they had him go through a range of emotions. You're just watching him go through this range of emotions, look around, he looks sad, he looks kind of friendly and warm at one point, looks shocked, looks surprised, all kinds of different expressions. And, I mean, they're saying it's not coming soon or whatever, to not go after it, but I can't think of any other reason for them to have made this and presented it than the fact that this is coming into the new Hall of Presidents very, very soon. What did you think?
You know, I was just absolutely amazed. I mean, the mouth movements still are not quite there, but those expressions are just absolutely fantastic. I sat there just watching him going through those emotions, from shock to awe to sadness to happiness. It's incredible how incredibly lifelike this figure is. You know, Garner Holt has been doing some pretty spectacular work. He was just a kid who loved animatronics, and he's built up his own business. I know Bob Gurr has been working with him on some of his projects. This is a guy who loves what he does, and it really does show in his work.
Oh, yeah. So I'm very excited. This, even seeing the animation around the cheekbones, because, you know, if you look at yourself in the mirror when you talk, you know, your the skin around your cheekbones kind of moves. And I even noticed the subtle bits of skin would move. And this is something that I wish that they could get right in a video game. All the different subtleties on the human face, because everybody always looks stiff to me. But, oh, the amazing. It's just amazing. But problem is, If they get this into the parks, you're not going to see it when you're watching the show from the back row. You're not going to be able to see all these little details going on in that face.
Mm-hmm.
So get up close, people, and watch it and stand in awe. And just let that be Abraham Lincoln standing in the room speaking to you. Wow. So there's something else coming cool to the parks. So why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, this is we talked a few weeks ago about a virtual reality headset based around Star Wars. Well, what we have learned here is that a virtual reality startup called The Void has teamed up with Lucasfilm and the ILM X Lab to bring us a Star Wars themed multiplayer virtual reality experience, and it is coming to both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, and to their to the Downtown Disney and Disney Springs respectively.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go into the parks to participate in this. These are just outside of the parks. We're told that they're going to open around the holiday season, and they're calling it. Or, I'm sorry, my brain's working a little bit too fast for my mouth. But it's basically going to be a way for guests to become active participants within the Star Wars adventure. And I know when we were talking about this a couple of weeks, I talked about there was a planet, or you could go to Tatooine and participate. This is the company that made that. And so they're going to be expanding upon that concept and bringing it and making it bigger and better. They had debuted with the Ghostbusters VR experience at Madame Tussauds in New York's Times Square last year, and they've since opened up locations in Toronto and Dubai and their corporate headquarters in Linden, Utah. You know, I get to Utah quite often. I probably ought to go and check this out.
Yeah, I bet it's expensive, though.
Probably.
And now, from what little bit I've heard of it, it's completely like you're going to be wearing these goggles, but instead of being like stationary, you're moving through an environment, and the stuff you're wearing apparently is going to interact with the environment, so you'll actually feel like you're literally walking around, and you can touch things and feel things. There's actually going to be stuff around that, like real objects to represent a virtual object that you can touch and interact with, from what I've been hearing about how this thing worked. I'm all for it. I want to check it out.
I'm sitting here wondering how soon we're going to have the Oasis.
No kidding. For those of you who are not familiar with the Oasis, go back and listen. What was it? Was it last week or a couple weeks ago when we had that trailer or that little tease for Ready Player One, and it mentions the Oasis in there. Yeah, that's, think of it that way.
But yeah, so again, this is something pretty incredible that will be coming to the Disney parks. And, you know, if it's something that we're able to experience, we're definitely going to share it.
Oh, yes, if we get a chance to. And I don't know how we could get some audio, because you'd have to be able to fit some microphones on yourself to be able to pick up stuff. So, but maybe we can talk to somebody, or one of us can talk to somebody. We'll figure out something. We'll try.
Yep, we do.
Yeah. So here is something else that's this is coming up really quick. All right. There's going to be a live stream from Disney Parks Live. You know, this is going to be, I'm sure, mainly what you're going to want to do probably is go to the Disney Parks blog to watch it. Also at their Twitter, at Disney Parks. I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to find this on their YouTube channel as well. But this Wednesday, August 9th, it's going to be 8:55 p.m. Pacific time, which means it's going to be really late at night for the rest of us. But they're going to live stream Fantasmic, and this is an all-new show in Disneyland, so you'll get a chance to see it.
Well, I'm not going to say it's all-new. It has new elements to it.
Ah, I've heard Jack Sparrow is there.
Yes, Jack Sparrow has supplanted Peter Pan, actually.
Ah.
There are, if you're familiar, you know, and there's even differences between the Fantasmic that plays at Disneyland and the one that plays at Walt Disney World. Similar type of differences between both parks, but with this new one that they have at Disneyland. But you know what? Watch it, see for yourself. There is new music, there's new sequences, and of course we've got Jack Sparrow sailing around the event rather than Peter Pan. But still, it's Fantasmic. You're still gonna, if you enjoyed the previous show or if you enjoy the one at Disney World, you're still gonna find plenty to like in this one. And I'm glad that Disney's sharing this with everybody through that live stream.
Yep, I'll definitely try to stay up late and check it out or something. Or, you know, after they live stream it, I'm sure it'll be online for a little bit, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that, well, I mean, that's like 9 o'clock over there. It's going to be like 11 o'clock for me here in Central Time. So, yikes. But speaking of other things that are new, other than the Animal Kingdom is expecting a baby tiger cub, which all I found about that is a photo. Let's see, but one of the park's Sumatran tiger, Sony, is expecting a new addition, and it's actually expected this month. And this is actually an endangered species of tiger, the Sumatran tigers. I'm very happy that our Kansas City Zoo has a pair, so I've gotten to see them. They're a little smaller than a Siberian tiger, but they're just beautiful animals. And they're expecting a tiger cub, or cubs, you know, it could be more than one. That's happening right now in the Animal Kingdom, but other animal-related things. I just pretty much want to play some audio here for you, because we already talked, I think, before that the Toy Story Land was supposed to open by next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put their final pieces on the Slinky Dog Dash.
Today is a huge milestone, very exciting day for the Slinky Dog Dash roller coaster for our project team. We've been really building towards this day for a long time. Today is the day that we install the last piece of ride track. We're just so excited.
It was a great moment to see the final piece fit right in.
This is a fantastic day. I've seen just a tremendous change in that short amount of time.
First, we started in station, put some of the columns in.
I believe we were at 8 columns that we started off with, and then we started laying ride track on there. From there, everything started falling into place.
And then we just proceeded forward until we got to a good point, found a good, nice high piece to make our last piece as we capped off the ride.
There is a ton of work to do. Just on the track, we have to level it all, shim it all, make sure everything's set, and then pack it all with grout, lock it in.
In exciting times ahead, we're going to have our Slinky ride vehicle arriving here shortly. Our team's actually in Germany right now checking it out. And before you know it, we'll have Slinky riding around this track.
Now, in this video on the parks blog, you actually get to see a bit
What's
of a virtual
this point
tour
is all
of
the partnerships
here.
And teamwork and collaboration out here.
There's been tremendous teamwork, tremendous coordination between our ride team, our facility team, our show team. They all have to work together to integrate all the parts and pieces that make this the wonderful experience that it's going to be.
That makes me feel great. It's really happy to see all our hard work paying off. We've been working really hard, and we're really excited to see guests ride it one day.
The most rewarding part of working here at Walt Disney Imagineering is having those moments, getting to see the reaction on the guest's face. That's something that you really don't get anywhere else.
I hope the guests will get a huge smile on their face and just enjoy themselves.
We just can't wait to share this experience with the guests next summer.
You know, what's cool about this is when you get a good look at it here, I mean, they touted it that it was going to be kind of mild and it's not really going to be, you know, this high thrill type of ride. But, I mean, this is not a kiddie ride by any stretch. This is a full roller coaster. Maybe it's not going to be as high to speeds as what you'd think, but it looks like there's enough some twists and turns and hills. No loops or anything that they showed. But this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, Disney has been known to, you know, find ways to make these kid-friendly roller coasters very themed and very well done. I mean, we just had the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train open up a couple years ago at Disney World, and that's been fantastic. And I think almost everybody that could ride it is able to ride it. And I'm sure that they're extending that to this ride as well.
Yep, so very exciting coming next summer. So plan your trips accordingly, because I'm sure it's going to be very, very crowded when they first open, because I think a lot of people would be interested in this. Probably maybe not as big as when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens, but I'm a big Toy Story fan, so I'm excited for this. I would love to check it out, and we'll see. Maybe next summer I'll find a chance, although I have an idea for a great project I'm going to try to do next summer. So we'll see. But there's something. They showed some of this at San Diego Comic-Con, and I saw a little bit of video of somebody finding at a booth. And I've seen on Pixel Dan, if you go and check it out, he has got some video. He got sent a couple of these figures to look at. But Mega Constructs, which is from like Mega Bloks. And mm-hmm. I think I have one of these from a comic convention. I don't know where I put it, but it was of Master Chief. But it's a little figure you would kind of put together of Master Chief, and he's got a stand and everything. And it's not very big. So that's why I'm figuring the size of these would be. But there's these little Masters of the Universe figures. Although, right now, they've only got a He-Man and a Skeletor, and it's part of this Mega Constructs worlds, and they have a couple Star Trek figures and things like that that I saw on Pixel Dan on his video. But they're not doing a huge range, but having some extra Master of the Universe miniatures would be really cool. And as small as these are, I might keep these in the box like Richard Woloski would, you know. And I do the same thing. I got some Ninja Turtles on the wall still in packages, you know. And a lot of Star Wars figures still in boxes hanging on the wall. But I think something like this I would probably put on the wall. But you know, like I said, it's only a He-Man and Skeletor at this point. I don't know if there are plans for any more. And they are, like I said, they're really small, though. If it's based around like the Halo, like the little Master Chief figure that I got at a comic convention for free. It's maybe, I would say maybe about 2 inches tall. And that's what these look like. You know, they're kind of like minifigs, only just a little bit bigger. So they're going to be really small, so you might not want to take them out of the package because of the size of them. Because right now, I don't know what in the world I did with Master Chief. He fell off my desk, now that I think about it. And he's somewhere probably roaming the floor, protecting me from the Covenant or something. I don't know.
I'll I'll hold out for a Mechanek to make its way, so that one might be a little bit taller.
Yeah, might gain another half inch.
There you go.
Well, we've talked before about some casting for a live-action Aladdin. The big shakeup really was Will Smith playing the genie, which I haven't really found that many people that happy about it. but we'll see. I'm willing to give him a chance. But they have cast Jafar, and he's a guy who used to be on Saturday Night Live and named Nassim Pedrad. I'm not familiar with this guy.
Actually, Nassim Pedrad is a gal, and she has a role that's unique to just this movie. She's not Jafar.
Oh, was she the one that was okay? Because
now the person that is playing
Marwin Kenzari. There we go.
Yep, and he's actually going to be in this upcoming Murder on the Orient Express film that's mm-hmm. coming out. But he's going to be the one playing Jafar.
Ah, okay. I'm glad somebody was paying attention to our page. I got looking at the wrong name. They put the wrong name in the
They put the name of the one that would be more recognizable.
I guess so. And she's joining the cast. I don't know what she's playing.
Yeah, they did not advise what her character is.
Just it is. She'll play Mara, a handmaiden and friend to Jasmine. The part is described as a comedic supporting role. So they've invented some extra characters, probably because they didn't want to bring in a live tiger to be her friend. I bet that's what happened.
Yeah, just bring in a live tiger, call it Richard Parker, and we're all good. Oh, wait, wrong movie.
Yeah. But we have a Jafar. Yes. And, you know, looking at the guy, I can kind of see it. You know, it's really hard to get those perfect Jafar-like features. But he does mm-hmm. kind of have a good pointed nose and kind of a narrow chin. So, you know, maybe get him that right beard that could be so twisted. And, you know, he might look the part.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, personally, I was surprised to learn this week that the Jafar on Broadway has been played by Jonathan Freeman.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. And Jonathan Freeman was the original voice of Jafar.
Exactly.
And now I've heard that he was doing it in, I forgot, was it in California somewhere he was actually doing?
Actually on Broadway.
On Broadway he's been there. How cool would that be?
So it looks like we're not going to get Jonathan Freeman in a third iteration of Jafar.
Well, he probably doesn't quite look right, but, you know, no one else could pull that voice the way he does.
That's right.
He probably doesn't completely look the part for a film. On stage, you can get away with some things, but with a film, it's going to be up close. You'd really have to have the right look. So
yeah.
Maybe he doesn't. I don't know what he looks like, but he maybe doesn't look right for it.
Well, speaking of looks, have you ever thought about, you know, the way that Khan appears in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan?
With his plastic chest?
Yeah. Think we'll ever get a chance to see that on the big screen again and get a really good opportunity to review if that's really the case?
Well, if you go to fathomevents.com or a participating theater box office, you can find out about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. This is the 35th anniversary. And so it's going to be showing in a digitally remastered director's cut for 2 days. It's going to be Sunday, September 10th, and then Wednesday, September 13th, in about 600 theaters. Normally, I've noticed Fathom Events kind of do stuff a lot, I think, with, like, AMC, I think. Mm-hmm. But if you go to, like, fathomevents.com, you should be able to look it in there and try to get your tickets early. This is very, very cool, because this is by far considered to be the best of the Star Trek films. And I can't say that I can disagree with that. That is probably still the best of the Star Trek films.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, this is the one that kind of made Star Trek cool to me. Because when I was a little kid, I remember it would come on TV, but the pacing wasn't enough for me as a kid to really understand what was going on with Star Trek. And I didn't care. But then, you know, I would watch The Wrath of Khan and I was like, ooh, this is kind of cool. And I didn't understand everything that's going on, but, you know, it was really kind of cool. So, as I got older, I got to understand the movie and realized, wow, this is a heck of a good movie.
Oh, definitely. I mean, earwigs aside, it is a fantastic movie.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about with the earwigs, then, hey, go to the theater and check it out. Speaking of some other 80s things coming back, I didn't have this in our notes, but we got to mention it. There's going to be a series called Cobra Kai on YouTube Red. That's right, YouTube that you have to pay for.
Cobra Kai, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, Cobra Kai Never Die, right?
Yeah.
So this is going to be Ralph Macchio returning with William Zabka, you know, who played Johnny, in a 10-episode, half-hour series. And it's going to come in, it's starting in 2018. It's supposed to be 30 years later, after the 1984 All-Valley Karate Tournament. And Johnny Lawrence is down and out, but seeks some redemption by actually reopening the Cobra Kai Karate Dojo, which unfortunately also reignites his rivalry with a now-successful Daniel LaRusso, who is apparently struggling to maintain some balance in his life without the guidance of his mentor, Mr. Miyagi, because Pat Morita has passed away quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, I was really hoping, though, if they were bringing them back, I would like to have seen him and Johnny actually kind of being friends. Because, you know, at the end of the first movie, you do have that line, "You're all right, LaRusso." So, and you kind of even got to see where, at the beginning of Karate Kid 2, Johnny learns that his teacher really is a jerk. And so I would kind of think that maybe he'd start to rethink his life, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess that doesn't seem to be the way. But maybe he won't be a complete jerk. Maybe he's just a little bit of a rivalry. And, you know, maybe a little bit more friendly this time. But,
well, you know, I just hope that, you know, he comes to the realization that maybe he's been in the wrong after Daniel-san goes and honks his nose.
Exactly. Otherwise, he might do that drum punch, you know. As I was talking to some people at a picnic today, and it says, oh, yeah, the drum punch, where he would slap them repeatedly. I was like, yeah, I guess so. It was like a big slap. That's not the only stuff coming back to theaters, though.
No. In fact, this week, The Lion King has been back in AMC theaters, but there's something even bigger coming up on the horizon.
And yeah, it's funny how they call this the Disney Princess movie marathon. Really, this is nearly almost every Disney animated classic. Not quite all of them, because they're only doing it throughout the month of September. If you check your local AMC theater and see if The Lion King has been showing, there are still some showings I'm finding for Monday, so I'm going to try to maybe go tomorrow to watch The Lion King on a big screen again, just because. But beginning September 8th, there's going to be a new princess film showing at 304 AMC theaters and even the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles, and then every week through October 13th. So, here's the thing. Beauty and the Beast I said, well, that's a funny thing, though. They said it starts September 8th, but the listing I have here mentions Beauty and the Beast is going to be September 15th, Mulan September 22nd, mm-hmm. Tangled September 29th, Moana also September 29th. Oh, but that's only going to be at the El Capitan, I suppose. Keep an eye out on that one. Princess and the Frog will also be September 15th. Oh, and also AMC Theaters on October 6th.
Yeah.
September 15th and October 6th. Brave will be at the El Capitan September 8th and AMC Theaters on October 13th. So it's kind of a weird mishmash of things. It's, I guess when they're talking about starting September 8th, that might be talking about some of the stuff at the El Capitan. But keep an eye on your AMC Theater website and at your local AMC Theater and see if you're in one of the theaters that's going to carry this so you have the opportunity to go check out these old movies that you probably have on DVD or Blu-ray already. But, you know, there's something special about seeing it in a lump on a big screen again.
There really is. And I am hoping that I can take my kids to go see Beauty and the Beast at the very least to show them how a good Beauty and the Beast movie is made.
Yeah. Not that the newer one wasn't good. It just wasn't as good. Because I liked it.
We'll agree to disagree.
I think I enjoyed the live action simply because the story is it's a good story, and they just found a different way to kind of tell it, and I found some enjoyment. I mean, it wasn't perfect, that's for sure. It had its problems, but I still enjoyed it, but I still don't love it as much as the classic animated that was just a wonderful movie, which I've actually gotten to see when they re-released it at IMAX. Mm-hmm. Heather and I went, and it was really funny, you know, because seeing it blow, it was full blown up into IMAX, but you could actually watch Gaston when he falls. You can still see his speck vanish completely when he's falling. So, yeah, spoiler warning.
What, a spoiler warning for, oh my goodness.
From 1991, yeah, it's been
26 years.
Oh, wow. Well, Sonny, I remember seeing it the first time it was in the theaters. All right, but now it's time to turn a corner. So everything old is new again over in Disneyland as they reopened the Rivers of America and the Disneyland Railroad, and you were there to check it all out.
Well, speak of turning a corner, because for the first time ever, the Disneyland Railroad now makes a left-hand turn.
It's ready for NASCAR.
Just about. Yeah, I'll tell you, it is pretty spectacular. It's not just that they've rerouted the track to accommodate Star Wars Galaxy Edge. They've taken this opportunity to plus up the railroad in a few different areas and to, you know, make it a little bit more, just really plus it up, I guess, is really the best way to put it. They've recorded an all-new audio for it that you listen to as you ride, and for the most part it's pretty similar to what's been in place for the last 60 plus years. As you come out of Splash Mountain, which you actually go through bypassing that area of the park, you make a very sharp right hand turn now and go across a trestle bridge, which is backed by rocks and waterfall, which are going to protect the view from the inside of Disneyland away from Galaxy's Edge and vice versa. But along this stretch, you can see that they've created all new animatronics. There's a Native American chief who's telling a story that you can hear as you pass by. Over on the island, you can see Mike Fink's cabin and his keelboat as you're passing on by, and you're close enough to, you know, really see and wave to people that are on the ships as well. As you come back through and pass by the Tomorrowland station, you'll of course go into the Grand Canyon diorama and the Primeval World. We've talked about those earlier this year. They've actually plussed up those a bit with some projections. As you now enter into the Grand Canyon diorama, you can see some birds flying in the background. As we go through it a little bit more, you'll see that there's a lightning storm that actually is going on, and lightning strikes a tree and you can see fire and smoke coming up from it. As you enter into the Primeval World, the projections continue. You'll see pterodactyls flying around in the sky. You'll see a volcano going up in the background, or winds coming up and stirring up dust in the background. You know, it's not a big change, but it's a pleasant addition to what had been there.
They've sort of plussed it, as they like to say.
Exactly.
Did you get a chance to check out anything new on the Rivers of America?
Well, we did not have the opportunity to ride either the sailing ship Columbia or the Mark Twain, but you can certainly tell that the route around the island has been shortened a bit, but it certainly did not halt or stop anything going back and forth on there. It seems like they've got their timing down just right. And again, from the train, you can see this Native American speaker. You can see the animals down on the water. You can see the cabin. So there's quite a bit that you can see. One really neat thing is when we went over to one of the entries for the new Galaxy's Edge area, it's all still themed and designed around the Southwest. And you can actually see a part of the, not the mine train through Nature's Wonderland, but I think it's part of the Stagecoach Trail, or the Burrow Trail, which was paved, has been opened back up to the public for the first time in, you know, decades, where you can see some of the, you know, some of this history of the park, which is really amazing. And kind of a nice new thing, since with the addition of all of the new rock work, they had to tear out some of the old rock work that had been around since those mine train through Nature's Wonderland days.
I mean, I know there used to be the mine train ride that went through there, and I've got audio of that. And at some point, we'll have to talk about that old ride when we've been going through some of these old attractions that we bring into Neverland. We'll talk about that sometime. We'll even have to go and talk about the old railroad, and we've got audio of that we can play as well, because that's now extinct, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, like I mentioned, they have a new audio to accompany the Disneyland Railroad as you're going around. So, you know, it's even still interesting to hear the new, you know, this new narrator discussing things as you go around the park.
Well, let's take a listen, because you did bring us a recording of that.
I certainly did.
Let's take a ride at a Disney park. Let's take a ride right now. Oh, oh.
And don't miss the chance of missing your states. Don't try to head farther from the loading from up there. Uh-huh. I'd say don't go any farther than the loading from up there, so don't want you to miss a chance. Can I ask you guys to scoot down a little bit?
Just a moment or two, we'll be on our way once again. We're headed off to New Orleans for station next. Make sure you stay seated, of course, keeping your hands and arms, feet and legs inside of the train. If you've got a small passenger traveling with you, make sure they're sitting safely away from the opening of the train, away from the edge of the bench, and away from the center opening. We've got a red light right now, which means the train ahead of us is a bit behind schedule in New Orleans, so once they leave that station, we'll get a green light, and then we'll be on our way.
I collapsed for a second. I felt like I was moving. That was creepy. I closed my eyes for a minute, you know, because I'm tired. I felt like this, like we're swaying. trunk closer this way or more out? So more so this way. More this way. Closer to the track.
All right, thanks for waiting. Once we've got that green light, we're going to be on our way to New Orleans Square. Please remain seated.
She has contacts.
Welcome aboard the Disneyland Railroad. We're embarking on a Grand Circle tour of the Magic Kingdom. We'll be stopping at New Orleans Square, Mickey's Toontown, and Tomorrowland. We'll also visit the Grand Canyon and make a trip back in time to the primeval world and the age of the dinosaurs before returning to Main Street Station. As we begin our journey, remember that for a safe trip, you need to stay seated, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the train. And please watch your children.
Bienvenidos a bordo del Disneyland Railroad. Para su seguridad, permanezca sentado y mantenga las manos, brazos, pies y piernas dentro del tren y cuide a los pequeños. Gracias.
Our first stop is New Orleans Square Station, but to get there, we need to pass through the wilds of Adventureland. It may seem peaceful through here, but trust me, it's a real jungle out there, literally. So be on the lookout. You just never know what might be lurking along the rails. Just ahead is New Orleans Square Station. This station also serves Frontierland and Critter Country. If you'll be leaving us here, please remain seated until the train comes to a complete stop. Then watch your step as you're getting off. For those of you continuing on with us, we'll be resuming our trip in just a moment. This is New Orleans Square Station. New Orleans Square.
Oh,
vehicle aboard the Disneyland Railroad. In just a moment, we'll be departing for Toontown Depot. Please remain seated, of course, keeping your hands on feet and legs this side of the train. If you've got a small passenger with you, make sure they're sitting safely away from the train opening towards the inside of the row or securely on an adult platform. We're just refilling our water tank right now, and we'll be on our way momentarily.
Thank you. Maybe 12. How many, sir? 11. All right, you're going to need to split up. Can't get you guys all together. We can do a few here. Right there. What do you got, Johnny? What do you got? Come on.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My guest is what do you got?
Oh, wait. 14.
No?
Last call.
Yeah.
The Disneyland Railroad will be on our way again in just a moment. We'll be seated while the train's in motion. Of course, keeping your hands and arms, feet, and legs inside of the train. If you've got a small passenger, make sure they're sitting away from the opening, so we're seated to the bench towards the center of the row, or securely on an adult's lap. Our next stop's going to be at Tomorrowland. We've currently got a red light, meaning the train ahead of us is a bit behind schedule, but once they depart the station there at Tomorrowland, we'll get a green light, and then we'll be on our way. Just sit back and relax, and we'll be on our way shortly.
Land of them all, Fantasyland. You can see people we're stepping onto is a small world just below us. And, off in the distance, majestic Matterhorn Mountain. For those who have just come aboard, welcome. The next leg of our journey will take us from the fantastic world of the future to the breathtaking beauty of nature's own design, the Grand Canyon. For your safety, stay seated with your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the train. Watch your children and no flash photography.
Para su seguridad, permanezca sentado y mantenga las manos, brazos, pies y piernas dentro del tren. Y cuide a los pequeños. Por favor, no tome fotografías con flash.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
and like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yay!
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.